Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the live Father Heart TV webcast. I'm on my own this evening. I've lost my good friend, Barry. I haven't lost him. I know exactly where he is, but he's not with us this evening. He is teaching in the School of Ministry in Toronto this week, doing two sessions each day. And obviously that's important. So it's just me on my own this week, but looking forward to being back together with Barry next week. Thank you all for joining us. Great to have Denmark, Norway, UK, Canada, Scotland. I mean, that's part of the UK really, isn't it? I think it's part of the UK and I want it to remain part of the UK. But welcome everyone. Really glad you can join us. As I say, Barry's teaching at the School of Ministry in Toronto this week, and I trust he's really having a good time. He started yesterday and is doing it right through till Friday. He's here, he's online, he's watching, so I better behave myself and not say anything too much about him, but he's between classes at the moment, so good to have you, Barry, and hope the rest of the week goes really well. It's May. And today we have had, in England, we have had sun and very warm. We've had rain, very heavy rain. And we've had hail. We had hail that turned the grass white. It was almost like we had a little layer of snow. So I kind of feel like we've had three seasons all in one day here. But such is life. I was talking to my wife over our meal, and we were kind of saying we wouldn't be in Britain if we didn't talk about the weather. So we've had it all today. I'm sure you've had whatever you've had. So it's been cold in Bridgnorth, I see. Yes, you know, maybe one day we'll have summer. I remember last year, I think we were all so grateful in lockdown that April, May and June were really, really nice, good, warm weather. I remember queuing outside Tesco's for about 20 minutes to get in and it was glorious. I was in my shorts and t-shirt and I was thinking it would be miserable if it was raining. And a few weeks ago, at the beginning of the most recent lockdown in February, February, March time, I was in Tesco's again. I was standing in the queue. It was freezing cold. It was raining. But fortunately, it only took 5 minutes to get into the shop. And I remembered the warmth of last summer. So anyway, enough of the weather. We're not here to talk about the weather. We're here to talk about something much, much more exciting. But before we get into tonight's topic, I just want to mention once again the seminars which I'm running this time with Wynette. A week on Monday, 17th and 18th of May, Monday and Tuesday, a week Monday, week Tuesday. We're talking about the embrace of comfort. I was talking to Wynette today about this and, you know, really everything flows from this. If we are not comforted, if we're not living with a comforted heart, then really we are struggling. We are into performance. We are losing our rest. We're just kind of, we just haven't got it. But when we're comforted, we can, you know, life is different. And, you know, we still have our challenges. We still have our difficulties. But if we're living from a comforted heart, somehow everything is very different. And Wynette and I did a series on comfort at the end of last year. This is going to be slightly different. We were talking about it today and we don't want to repeat ourselves. And so we're bringing in a couple of extra new topics for this. You can sign up at my website, afathertoyou.com/embraced. And I know many of you have signed up already and you will have done the first part, which I did with Barry a few weeks ago in April. But if you're new signing up for the second part, the comfort part, if you just put a note on the booking form or in an email or something, then I can send you the links for the first part where Barry and I talked about embracing a childlike heart. I mean, these two topics, childlikeness and comfort, they go together because the more we are comforted, the more we can live out of a childlike heart. And really, my experience is that it's only those with a childlike heart that can be truly comforted. you know, Jesus said it, these things have been hidden from the wise and learned. And I think when we're the wise and learned, when we think we've got it all together, we don't think we need comfort. And when we actually receive it, when we start to live from a childlike heart, I really believe that our hearts can be truly comforted. So really want to just encourage you to sign up for that if you can, fathertoyou.com embraced. There's no charge for the seminars, but you are obviously very welcome to make a donation. I've just seen the message from Kelly. Just want to pray a blessing on you, Kelly, now in Jesus' name, that you receive healing. And as Mike says, you live in peace without fear, and just trusting the Father to be with you whilst you're in hospital. We send our love and our blessing to you. So that's the seminars. As I say, you're all very, very welcome to join us week on Monday, week on Tuesday in the afternoons, UK time, and Europe in the morning in East Coast America. If it doesn't work for you time zone, sign up. You get the links and you can watch them at your leisure. So, you know, don't let the time zone put you off. We do two sessions every day on the Monday and Tuesday. And then we follow that, for those who are live with us, we follow that with a Zoom kind of discussion, question and answer time, where Wynette has all the answers to all of your questions. So come along and join us. Obviously, as this week goes on, just can I encourage you to keep praying for Barry at the School of Ministry in Toronto. Just really want to see the Father's love being poured out into those participants on that school. And just his revealing his love to them, just as I believe he's going to do for us today. Just want to mention a few books before we get going. Trevor Galpin has produced a new book called The Big Picture, which is really kind of him drawing together his teachings on Galatians and Romans, how we've all, you know, we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and you know, how we were predestined to be sons. And not only are we sons and daughters, but we're heirs. And Trevor really looks at what that means in practical terms. And I really, really highly recommend it. It's on Amazon, Trevor's new book. Barry's done a couple of books on a childlike heart. One of them is a picture book. He calls it a book for kids, but actually it's a book for big kids. It's for all of us. And then my books, A Father to You, Planted in Love, The Depth of Love, and It Changes Everything. They're all on Amazon. And of course, I just want to encourage you to have a look at those and to buy them, of course. If you're interested in my books in a bulk order, please contact me and we can see what we can do to help. So here we are this evening, the live webcast. Once again, thanks everyone for being with us. I want to talk about something tonight that I've talked about many, many times. I really feel it's one of my foundational messages, and I just like coming back to it, because to me, I think it does us no harm to be reminded of this regularly, and for it to become a foundation in our hearts. And as I'm talking, this may be familiar to many of you, but it may be new for some of you, but I really just want to encourage you as I'm speaking to open your hearts and to really just ask the Father to come and meet with you, to pour his love into your hearts, to make that foundation of his love stronger in our lives. You know, I think, and Barry's the same, we often talk about this together. It's like many, many people have an encounter with the love of God and it changes something for them. And very often our experience has been that people have an encounter with the love of the Father, and it's kind of like it may be a life changing, it may be a very, very significant encounter, but it can almost become like a one-off in their experience. And in a way, that's what it was like for me. 18, 19 years ago, I kind of felt after I am James Jordan had prayed for me, kind of felt that was it. You know, what more do I need? But it didn't take too long to discover the reality is that we need an ongoing experience and ongoing encounters with the love of the Father. And, you know, a one-off is great. But if we keep coming back to him, and we keep coming back and asking him to strengthen that foundation of love in our lives, that we build our lives on the foundation, the rock of love. You know, it's as we come back to him and we kind of make it a habit, really, to be loved and to allow him to be a father to us. It's those ongoing experiences, those ongoing encounters that really bring some very, very significant and deep transformations in our hearts. So although I've talked about this many times on the webcast, I don't apologize for coming back to it, because I really believe that the Father wants to speak to us today and strengthen and build that foundation in our hearts. He wants to deepen it and really just take each one of us deeper into his love. And so I just encourage you to open your heart to receive more and more. And I want to talk about the Father's desire and his promise, because for me, this is so fundamental. It's such, it's just something I personally keep coming back to and really want to build my life on. And I was just out for a walk this afternoon and just thinking about desire and what is desire. And I'll talk about that a little bit later on, but, you know, the Father has a desire for relationship. And so I just want to unpack that a little bit for us. And as I say, just wherever you are in the world at the moment, whatever time it is, whichever room of your house you're in or wherever you are, just say, Father, here I am. May I experience more of your love for me. See, one of the things I said, and I nearly said it just then, one of the things I think we often say when we come to the Father is we say, Father, will you love me? As if our request turns the tap of his love on. And at some point in time, that tap is turned off. And, you know, I found myself saying this the other day, Father, will you love me? And then I suddenly stopped and I thought, what a stupid request. He is loving me. He's always loving me. You know, he loves me with an everlasting love. There's never a moment of my life that he's not loving me. There's never a moment of any day that he's not loving me. You know, he is always loving me. And I just realized, I said, Father, will you love me? Will you love me now? And I suddenly thought, what a dumb thing to say. Of course he's loving me. He's always loving me. And instead, I'm just trying to say, Father, may I experience that love? Because it's not his ability to love us that is ever in question, because he is always loving us. You know, the thing that sometimes slips is our ability to receive love and to experience the knowing of being loved and experience the knowing of him being a father to us. And maybe you're like me and you say, Father, will you love me right now? Will you love me now? Can I just encourage you to change the question? Because of course he is loving you. He is loving you right now. He loves you every moment of your life. Whatever you do, whatever you feel like, whatever your difficulties you're going through, whatever challenges you're going through, he is loving you. And can I just encourage you to turn the question around and say, Father, may I experience that love? That may not be an emotional feeling, because his love is deeper than our emotions. You know, if it was dependent on our emotions, it's kind of like, if I'm having a bad day, I won't feel anything. If I'm having a good day, I will feel something. But the experience of his love is deeper than emotions. And so when I pray, Father, may I experience being loved, I'm just kind of trusting that the peace that passes all understanding would just flood my heart and my mind. And I would have that sense, even though the day might be going badly, or even if things are going, you know, not as I planned, or if things are very difficult, then there would be that sense in my heart of him being a father to me, of me being loved. And so I just encourage us all to come with that posture today and say, Father, may I experience you loving me. May I know the experience of you being a father to me. And just allow him to take you deeper into the endless ocean of his love. His love for you and his love for me is just overwhelmingly generous. It's unfathomable, it's unmeasurable, and we can never get to the end of it. And I don't want you to ever feel like his love for you is rationed, because his love for you and his love for me and his love for all of us is limitless. And, you know, the more we rest in that ocean of love, the more our heart comes home, the more we feel we belong, the more rooted and grounded we feel, the more... I was thinking about, I'm really kind of not getting into what I'm wanting to talk about, but I just was thinking about this morning again, the whole question of maturity. And, you know, we think that maturity is having our act together, being able to cope on our own, being independent, being self-sufficient. And, you know, maybe that's part of it in some way. But I was just thinking about maturity this morning. And really, you know, maturity, spiritual maturity, is very, very, in my mind, it's very simple. It's knowing we're loved. And the more we know we're loved, the more I know I'm loved, the more I live in love, the more I'm rooted and grounded in love, the more mature I am. And that is just so opposite to the way the world thinks. I believe it's actually very opposite to the way a lot of our Christianity has been taught. You know, we're taught to be mature and have our act together, be independent, self-sufficient, and just plow this furrow of doing, 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 and being, and good works and our own works and our own effort. But actually, I've, in myself, I've come to the conclusion that maturity, Christian maturity, is just being loved. And the more loved I am, that to me is a greater level of maturity. You know, I don't have to try to be something. I don't have to seek a position. I don't have to seek a ministry. I'm secure in my identity as a son. And that security of identity comes because I know that I'm loved. And so... just allow yourself to be loved today. Just allow the Father to come and hold you in his arms and just pour his love more and more into your heart, and that you would be able to receive the fullness of his love for you. So, coming back to the topic, the Father's desire and promise. I want to ask a question. You know, what did God want his family to be like? You know, have you ever thought about that? You know, before Genesis, before the creation of the world, God's in heaven, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. What were they thinking? What were they doing? What did they want this family to be like? And, you know, I think the Father thought, I want a family that brings me pleasure. You know, and I think that's natural. You know, as a dad myself, as a grandfather now, you know, my family bring me so much pleasure. I think I said last week on the webcast, last Wednesday, I was sitting here. I'd just been doing some emails and talking to a few people. And I heard a sound behind me, and I turned around, and there was my daughter and son-in-law and two grandsons. And they'd come to stay for the weekend because it was my birthday. And they can, we're bubbled together, so they can come and do that. And but it was just a delight and a pleasure to see them. It was a total surprise for me. Fiona knew about it, but it was a total surprise for me. And I think the father in was thinking, I want a family that will bring me pleasure. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things, that's you and me, everything, all things have been created through him and for him." I just want to underline that, for him. All things have been created for him. See, I think the father thought, I want sons and daughters that will bring me pleasure. You know, and that's natural. That's understandable. You know, we're not created to be servants. We're not created to be slaves. We're not created to submit to a taskmaster. We're created to live as sons and daughters who would bring our Father pleasure. You know, Revelation 4 verse 11 in the New Living Translation says, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what pleased you." You created what you pleased. Another translation says, "It's for your pleasure they exist." You know, God created all things simply because he wanted to. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, this is what the Lord says, "He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name, you are mine." You know, what a sense of belonging. You know, here's God saying, you're mine. "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze." And then in verse 4, it says, "You are precious and honored in my sight because I love you." Verse 6 and 7, "I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth." There's a picture of the father gathering his family, his rebellious family, back to himself. The father is saying, "I'm gathering my sons from afar. I'm gathering my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I formed and made." See, there's, you know, the father saying, "I created you. I made you. You know, I did it. I created you for my glory. And I want you to come home." See, that's the desire of the Father's heart. He created us out of the desire in his heart, the desire for a family, the longing for a family. And this family, he wanted to bring him pleasure. And I just want to say to you today, whatever you're feeling like, I just want to say to you, you bring your father pleasure. You know, just do this and say, I bring my father pleasure. You know, just say that to yourself, because that really is the truth. You bring your father pleasure. Whatever your day is like, whatever you're going through, he is proud of you. He wanted a family that would bring him pleasure. He wanted a family, I believe, that was made in the image of his son. You know, I believe he was looking, you know, he looked around heaven and he saw Jesus and he thought, that's my boy. I know what. I want sons and daughters just like him. You know, it says that in Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. He chose us to be like his son, Jesus. He wanted a family. He wants sons and daughters that are just like his son, Jesus. It says the same thing in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, 17 and 18. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, are being transformed. We're being changed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We've been transformed into his image. From one some translations say from one degree of glory to another. It says here in the NIV, with increasing glory. But I think the old King James says from one degree of glory to another. And one day the Father said to me, "Will you stop thinking you're being transformed from one degree of misery to the next degree of misery?" He said, "Mark, I see glory in your life, and I'm transforming you from one degree of glory to another degree of glory." And again, I just want to say to you, you know, whatever's going on, whatever you feel like, there is glory in your life that the Father sees, and he is calling that glory out of you and taking it, you know, from one level of glory to the next level of glory. He made us to bring him pleasure. He made us in the image of his son. And he wanted a family, I believe, that would live in the unity of the Trinity. Live in the unity of the Trinity. This is what the Father was planning for his family to be like. In John 17, verse 24, it says, "Father, I want those you've given me," that's us, "to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you've given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world." I want those to be with me where I am. That's almost the final words of Jesus before he went to the cross. "Father, these people watching the webcast on Wednesday, the 5th of May, I want them right now to be with me where I am." Wow. Where is he? He's in the bosom of the Father. He's by the side of the Father. And he's saying, "I want you to be there too. I want you to be at the Father's side. I want you to be in the bosom of the Father. I want you to be experiencing that intimacy and oneness and that unity. I want you to know that you're loved." You know, a couple of verses later in verse 26, Jesus prays that the same love that is in him would be in us. You see, he wants us. This is, you know, Jesus is expressing here the Father's plan of what his family would be like, that we would be made for his pleasure, that we would be made in the image of his son, that we would enjoy the unity of the Trinity. This is his plan. You know, and I really believe we see this plan through the whole of Scripture. In, you know, this right through the Old Testament, when we read it with the eyes of our heart, we see that God is a Father. We don't see, you know, we don't see him as the distant, angry God, but we see him as a Father. In Deuteronomy 32, 5 and 6, it says, Moses says, "Is he not your Father, your Creator, the one who made you and formed you?" See, whenever the people were rebelling, Moses reminds them that it's not God who's gone walkabout. It's not God who's left them. But it's them who've walked off in the paths of independence. But God is still who he always has been. God is still their Father. Psalm 68, verse 5, it says, "He is a father to the fatherless." Isaiah 1, verse 2, you know, Isaiah starts off his great prophetic book by saying, "I reared children. I had children. I brought them up, but they rebelled against me." See, God didn't change. He was a father before Genesis, and he's always Father. And he always wanted a family. His plan, he only has one plan. He only has plan A. In Genesis chapter 3, he didn't decide he needed plan B.
Oh, what am I going to do?
It's all gone badly wrong. Help, you know, what do I do? No, he didn't panic. He's only ever had one plan, and that plan is to have sons and daughters, is to have a family. And at the end of Genesis chapter 3, when it all went so badly wrong, his plan remained the same, and he did everything he could to bring that plan into being so that you and I could be sons and daughters. You see, this desire has always been in his heart. And I for me, this desire is really just expressed so strongly and so clearly in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19, where Jeremiah writes prophetically and he says, I myself said, how gladly would I treat you like sons and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me father and not turn from following me. See, that's the desire of his heart. How gladly would I treat you as sons? That's what I've always wanted to do, he says. I've always wanted to treat you as sons. I've always wanted to give you a desirable land. I've always wanted to give you the best inheritance of any nation. But he says, I can't do that because you're living as slaves and orphans. See, a master doesn't give the inheritance to the servants, but a father gives the inheritance to sons and daughters. And he says, if only you would turn and call me father, then I would be able to treat you in the way that I want to treat you. I would be able to give you the best land, the best inheritance. You see, God never forces his will upon us. He doesn't make us live as sons. He waits until we turn and come to him and say, Father, God, you really are my dad. And it's in that turning that he embraces us in his love. And he says, this is the relationship. This is the longing of my heart. Yeah, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. See, it's all about love. That desire is so strong in his heart. And this fathering is not, you know, we have so many misconceptions about fathering because we haven't had perfect fathers. We haven't had perfect dads. I mean, my dad died when I was 10. You know, he was absent for most of my life. This year in October it'll be 50 years since he passed away, you know. And I went to a boarding school where, you know, we had teachers and house parents who were kind of like fatherly figures, but it was in a very orphan performance oriented environment, you know. Many people have had an abusive or manipulative or controlling father, an angry father. And so we view God the Father through the filter of our earthly parents. And, you know, we think that God will be a father to us in the same way as our earthly fathers have been a father to us. And, you know, that's a huge blockage. And we haven't got time to get into that today. But God's fathering of us is personal, it's individual, it's perfect. It comes from a perfect heart of love. It's active and it's ongoing. He doesn't just love us when we're born again, but he loves us every day of our lives. And he wants us to be rooted and grounded, planted in love, that we would draw our energy and our life from the soil of love that we're planted in. You know, he wants to be a father to us on an active, ongoing, personal way. And this desire, I was thinking about desire today. You know, I like chocolate. And I went to the post office to post the letter, and I had a little bit of change, and I thought, oh, chocolate. And that, you know, the desire was there. And I know I should have walked out of the shop, and I know I should have walked by the chocolate on the shelves. And, you know I shouldn't have succumbed to that great temptation to buy a chocolate bar, but I did. The desire. Oh, yes, chocolate. I love chocolate. You see, and desire is very strong. I mean, you know, chocolate bar, you know, but the desire for other things that we, you know, perhaps have possessions or money or relationships or whatever it may be, that, you know when a desire gets hold of you, it can be quite strong, it can be quite compelling. It's like there's a compulsion inside of us that says, I must have it, and I must have it now. And of course, you know, I'm talking, you know, it's a bit flippant, maybe chocolate bar, but some of the other desires of our heart can be obviously very, very negative and damaging for us. But, you know, we can see when we look at desire in our own life how strong and how compelling it can be. But, you know, can you imagine what the desire is like in the Father's heart? When it's perfect, when it's pure, when it's full of compassion and passion, the intensity of that desire in his heart is just incredible. And, you know, like there are things, you know, I've got to have it, and I've got to have it now. It's like the Father is saying, this is what I want, and I want it now. I want to be a father to my sons and daughters. I want them to know that I'm fathering them. I want them to know that I'm loving them. I want them to experience my love. I really believe that desire in the Father's heart is incredibly strong, and it's unchanging. It doesn't diminish. It's not swayed by our behavior. It's not swayed by our comings and goings or whatever we might do or anything else. It's not, you know, it's not even, his desire is not swayed by our lukewarmness. You know, in Revelation, it talks about the church that is lukewarm, you know, neither hot nor cold. And it's like, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, you know. And I think very often we can be lukewarm, you know. And the Father's desire for us to call him Father, is undiminished through all of that. And, you know, I just feel the intensity of the passion. I thought you would call me Father. How gladly will I treat you as sons, but I need you to turn. I need you to call me Father. You see, he needs us to do that because he never overrides our free will. He never forces his will upon us, because that wouldn't be love. That would be coercion or manipulation. He waits for us to turn, and then he runs to us. That's what happened in Luke 15. The son went away, and the father's watching every day. And when the son has turned and starts coming back, the father says, yes, 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 yes. And the father runs to him and throws his arms around him. And I just want to say today that in the Father's heart for you, the Father's heart for me, there's an incredibly strong desire. It's compelling him. It's almost a compulsion. It's like he's saying, this is what I want, this is what I must have, but I'm just waiting. And when we turn and say, Father, he runs, he lavishes his love upon us. That desire in his heart is just incredibly strong. And, you know, the beauty is he went to every length to redeem us, because we've been kidnapped. We've been kidnapped by the ultimate orphan, and we've been kidnapped into an orphan-hearted system, whether that's family, education, politics, employment, church, whatever. We've been kidnapped into an orphan-hearted system, and the Father has done everything he can to redeem us out of that orphan-hearted system. John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. You know, I have come to you. You know, I believe he says, you know, I believe that cry echoes through the ages. I believe that cry echoes into our hearts today. And I believe the Father says to you and to me today, he says, I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm not leaving you fatherless. I have come, and I will be a father to you. And you know, although we can be redeemed out of that orphan way of life, it's very easy for us to be hijacked and fall back into that orphan-hearted system, orphan-hearted way of the world. And you know, the Father is constantly saying, I haven't left you. I have come to you. I'm here for you. I've not left you fatherless. I've come, and I will be a father to you. See, there's an incredibly strong desire in the Father's heart that says, I long to treat you as sons and daughters. I long for you to call me Father. There's that incredibly strong desire, and I believe that desire is satisfied by a very, very simple promise that we read in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, where God simply says, I will be a father to you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. And I've said this many times, those two little words, a father to you. To you. To me. They'll change your life if you let them. See, the Father's desire is very, very strong. It's never changed. That desire for a family that we looked at a few moments ago, what he wanted his family to be like, plan A. It's still plan A. It's plan A for your life. It's plan A for my life. It's never changed. It never will change. It will never be revised or modified. It's constant and true, and it remains the same. His plan, his desire has always been that you would be a son or you would be a daughter, and that you would allow him to be a father to you. That's never changed. That desire is satisfied by his promise when he says, I will be a father to you. And just as we finish, I want to read 1 John 3 verse 1. It's a verse we know well. And I just want you to receive this into your hearts. See what great love the Father has lavished on you, that you should be called a son or daughter of God. For that is who you are. See what great love the Father has lavished on you, that you should be called a son or daughter of God. For that is who you are. It's who I am. I'm a son. And let's just take some time now to just receive what the Father wants to do. Let's soak in his love. As I said, he's loving each one of us right now. And let's just open our hearts to receive that love. Let's just open our hearts to allow him to be a father to us. Maybe you've never called him Father. Now's a great time. Just say, Father. God, you really are my Father. Let that Abba cry arise in your heart. Abba, Daddy. And just in these next few moments, just allow his love to penetrate everything that's in your heart. Just receive his love. Allow yourself, give yourself the gift of being loved. So I'm just going to put some music on and let's just take a few moments to soak. I'm not going to pray for a few minutes. I'm just going to let you soak in his love. And then in a few moments, I'll just pray a blessing and just more of his life for each one of us. Father, may we experience your love being lavished into our hearts right now. Father, may we experience you being a father to us right now. Father, would you hold us in your arms? Father, would you pour your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit? Father, that we would know that we're rooted and grounded in love, that we're planted in love, that the soil of your love is the energy source for our lives, is the source of our food, our energy, everything we need, we would suck up out of your love. So, Father, just let that love be poured into our hearts. Father, may we respond to that incredible desire that you've carried through all time for each one of us. Father, may we respond to that desire that says, I thought you would call me Father, for that's who I am. I thought you would call me Father, that's who I am. And Father, as we call you Father, may we just begin to step into and live as sons and daughters. Thank you, Father. Just let your love be lavished upon us. Father, may we receive it. May we experience it. May our capacity to receive love increase. Father, that our hearts would expand as we're more and more loved. Father, may we never settle. May we never be comfortable with what we've experienced thus far, but may we be greedy and may we go on and have that longing in our heart for more and more of your love. Thank you, Father, that you're loving us now. You've always loved us. You've always loved us. And every moment of every day, you will love us. Father, I just ask for a sense of your peace to fill our hearts today. The peace that passes all understanding. Father, may that peace fill our hearts. Father, would you breathe your peace into our hearts? Father, would you lift any weight of depression or anxiety that is burdening us and weighing us down? Father, would you just lift that weight off our shoulders and off our heart? Father, would you set us free? That we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Father, just let your peace fill our hearts. Let your rest fill our hearts. Thank you, Father, that you've rescued us. You've redeemed us out of the orphan-hearted ways of the world. And you said, I'm not leaving you fatherless. I have come to you. Thank you, Father, that you want to be a father to us. You are a father to us. We just receive that today, Father. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just encourage you to go on receiving either tonight as you sleep or for the rest of your day. When you wake up tomorrow morning, may the first thing you say be, Father, thank you that you're a father to me. Thank you that you're being a father to me today. I open my heart to be loved today. Let that be our prayer. Let that be our cry. Thank you all for being with us. Really appreciate you being with us once again. And I'm really looking forward to having my mate Barry back next week. Have a good rest of the week. And just enjoy God being a father to you. And we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Thank you. Bye.